to go about it, write it out and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you.
I had to fail. It's a Whānau Wear Daily. Adam Collins and Daniel Norcross for the Advanced Hair Studio, the world leaders in hair restoration. Daniel, we're at a one-day series between England's women and India. The first of three matches. Tell us all about it in 30 seconds.
India won the toss, elected to bowl. That's the way to go in this series. The first three T20s all followed exactly the same pattern. The side that batted first didn't score enough runs. Two relatively early wickets and a slow power play. England never really recovered from it, despite a fine undefeated half century from Alice Davidson Richards. But we were delighted to watch a masterclass from Smriti Bandana and Harmanpreet Kaur that got India over the line in somewhat predictable fashion with loads of overs to spare. Same old, well played India.
I've got to say, I've been looking through the numbers before this series, prepping for commentary, as you do, and like Harmanpreet Kaur had a dreadful time of it between World Cups. I mean, she didn't hit even 200 runs in the last three calendar years until this year. Now she's up towards 650, 700, I suppose, after today, going at better than 50 in terms of her average. Her strike rate is up in the 80s again. It was down in the 60s and 70s. And you and I both worked on the 17 World Cup. We were both there in Derby when she made that astonishing unbeaten 171 against Australia, the World Cup final at Lord's, where she made 50 and looked so good there too. To think that she's got such a high ceiling and has been quite so middling between times. And you look at her today, it looks a million bucks, like she could be indeed the best player in the world. It's just that it's an odd way that she's gotten to this place.
Yeah, do you know, I think she's actually benefited from being captain, and it sounds moderately heretical, but I think she's benefited from not having Mitali Raj around, because I think she likes to be, you know, the big boss.
Yeah.
I think she likes to be the person that people look up to. And while Raj was in that side, you know, she carried such kind of grandeur, especially in, you know, in Indian sides, players who've been around for a long, long time, especially who bat. It's much the same in the men's game as well. They get revered in a certain way.
Yeah.
And I think Harmanpreet felt that she perhaps was, you know, riding along in the slipstream. Now she leads from the front. And when she gets the opportunity to do that, she shows her best qualities.
And I mean, it's her team now. It's the start of a new cycle as well. I don't think we should sort of underplay that point. The first game of the new Women's Championship, it's a truncated version in terms of the time between World Cups, but they've got a big prize at the end of all of this. The pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is a home World Cup in 2025. And they've made their call. They could have gone with Mandana, who was outstanding today for 91, and we'll talk about her in a moment, I'm sure. But if they can build towards that under Harmanpreet and Mandana as the kind of leadership axis, they will be every chance of winning the thing. I think they're the team most likely to catch up with Australia between now and then.
Yeah, I think so. I think given the Indian pitches and given the way that India's spinners play. And today, there was something very interesting in the contrast in the way England spinners Charlie Dean and Sophie Eccleston, who's a very, very fine bowler, incidentally, how they performed, what speeds they bowled at, which was around 53, 54 miles an hour. And the Indian spinners bowling sort of 44 miles an hour. And this was a wonderful way to sort of sucker the English, because the English have become quite macho, if that's the right word, in the way that they now approach batting. Suddenly, you know, they're trying to smash it to all parts. Sophia Dunkley wants to really lay into you. And, you know, it's about brute force and power. And the Indian spinners did what Indian spinners do better than anyone else, which is bowl slowly. There's nothing on it at all, on a slow pitch as well at Hove. Everything played into their hands. And I imagine, you know, Indian pitches, they vary all over India. But if they can get the slower, lower ones, their spinners will exploit those pitches, I think, a little bit better, perhaps, than the Aussie and English spinners, who tend to bowl it just that little bit quicker.
Yeah, Harlene Diol, who was out there at the end making six not out, but with the ball, she was the seventh bowler used, the fourth spinner used for India, and a really clever bit of bowling to get Sophia Dunkley. She was doing that all-round spin thing. It's like we've gone back 100 years. She bowled leg break, off-break to Dunkley, didn't quite get to the pitch and gave a catch to cover where Deepti Sharma did the rest. And, you know, that was a real high point for me in terms of she was only bowling at 40 mile an hour. In fact, it felt like a bit of a throwback to the Poonam Yadav days.
Yeah,
and that's not too exhibition. And speaking of Ekta, by the way, she's been overtaken by Gaikwad, who's now the number seven bowler in the world. Took one for 40 today, but bowled important overs in the middle just when England were getting their mojo back. Danny White looked relatively fluent in tough conditions, a used pitch, a very, very used pitch. I was out there this morning taking a look before the pitch report, and, like, you know, that's had a lot of traffic, this surface, and maybe it'll be that kind of series, given we're playing so deep into the year. It might be the slower spinners and India can kind of smother England with that, with that kind of old school approach that did work so well until the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, pace off's going to be big at Lords as well. We've seen a fair few white ball games at Lords, and it's not a great place for batting. And I think England rely, England have built a side that bats deeper so they can go harder for longer and they can take more risks. And you see them do that, which is why putting them into bat first is also a very cunning plan, because England will lose wickets in their adventurous approach, whereas India tend to be a bit top heavy in their batting lineup. So if they've got a target, you know, 227 today, amazingly, is the second highest run chase India have done against England.
Really?
I think it's, okay. Yeah, it's something amazing like that, our scorer Phil Long said. And we all raised our eyebrows at that, but that's because women's cricket has changed beyond recognition in
Absolutely.
The last two or three years, where scores have just been inflated massively. Let us not forget that the great Charlotte Edwards did not hit a single six in her ODI career. Kate Cross has got more sixes in her ODI career than Charlotte Edwards. So the world has changed, and a target like 227, 228 is exactly good for this Indian side because they're so proficient in the top. The top four or five are fabulous players, and when faced with that kind of task, they can manage their way through it. Now, when they bat first, they're a little bit more concerned about the firepower that England had, and we saw it today. England's firepower down the order. They recovered from 128 for six to post 227 for seven. Now, that would have been unthinkable again 3 or 4 years ago because simply the batting down the order wasn't there. But you saw Charlie Dean coming in, what was it, number nine?
Actually, 24 not out, hit a couple of lovely shots.
Every inch of batter, didn't she? Sophie Eccleston showed why some people think that, you know, she will in time develop into a proper all-rounder. And Alice Davidson-Richards, who I don't know what she's got to do to get more faith from the selectors. She's got 100 on test debut. She's an all-round cricketer that makes things happen. She does stuff. She's wonderful with the bat. And she batted very maturely today to get out half century. But that's where England's strength lies. It lies in being able to bat down the order. They still had Wong and Cross, both of whom can hit big, coming in at 10 and 11, whereas India don't have that. So their battle plan is about taking pace off the ball, suckering a side like England and say, come on then, you want to go hard at us, come hard at us. If you lose wickets, you're not going to get that really big total that'll scare us. And then we've got Smriti Mandana, we've got Harmanpreet Kaur, and actually, I tell you, Bhatia today, I thought she was fantastic. The first shot she hit was a beautiful back foot drive that she timed the absolute pants off. It went through backward point. She had a couple of rasping pulls. That looks like a seriously strong and capable top order, and that's when Shefali Verma not firing today.
Yeah, I think Bhatia played the shot of the day. There was a square drive early in her innings to die for. So, yeah, she's quality. And she's been bounced around a little bit too. Like, she opened in the World Cup when Verma was out of sorts and dropped back to three. She was playing some games as wicketkeeper. She wasn't in others. She kept really well today. So, in terms of the other Bhatia, Tania Bhatia, who's not picked today, and Rishabh Ghosh, of course, there's been a lot of online campaigning for her, given the strike rate she can bat at. We saw that in the third T20. She's not even in this squad. So there was some pressure on Yastika today to perform, and that half century from 47 balls certainly laid the foundation, along with Mandana, as did the bowling front up. I mean, we haven't even mentioned Julan Goswami. 10 overs, 2 maidens, 1 for 20, set and forget. How often do you say it? I mean, she today, I think your scorer Phil Long and our scorer Andrew Sampson had the same factoid that we were able to drag out. Others had it too online before you get stuck into me in the comments. This was the first one day that Goswami ever played without Mithali Raj in the team.
Isn't that amazing?
Staggering. Her 201st match, and all 200 before were with her old mate who only just retired at the World Cup. Goswami hasn't officially announced her retirement for Lords. It's been kind of messaged to us unofficially, and we've been conditioned to understanding that she'll pull the pin after the Lords one day, or the third of this series. But she could be the second fast bowler in world cricket to be going around in her 40s if she wants to be. She turns 40 in November, and she's still India's best seamer.
She was superb today, wasn't she? I mean, the very first ball kind of set the tone as well. It sort of dribbled through quite slowly from her height. And she instantly adapted to the circumstance. You know, if there is bounce in a pitch, she will bowl a different length. When there wasn't, she was so difficult to get away because she bowled so straight. She just kept firing at those stumps. And if it's keeping a bit low, you've got to be really concerned about your pads. And England's batters, really, they kind of played her out. 10 overs, 1 for 20, wasn't it?
Well, she blew Beaumont's pad off. I don't know how many times she's got her out in international cricket that way, but I suspect it's quite a few. Beaumont's been England's most important one-day player for a long time, along with Knight and Sivar, who aren't available in this series. So Amy Jones is captain. And let's call it for what it is. Amy Jones is struggling, and she hasn't hit a run for 3 years, with the exception of that really important 30-odd she made against South Africa in the Commonwealth Games, and there's a couple of half-centuries scattered around there too, but she's badly out of sorts. Unfortunate today to get the one that kind of went underneath her, but that's the way it goes when you're not seeing them well, and she was out early for three. On the other side of the ledger, there's India's top order you've already referred to, but Mandana, she's never made 100 against England, seven half centuries, of course that 90 at Derby to start the 2017 World Cup that feels like a lifetime ago in the way that the women's game's evolved since then, but she deserved 100. It was an innings worthy of it, having made 91 from 99 deliveries before she skied a ball late and got caught at mid-off from the bowling of Kate Cross, who picked up a couple today for England. But yeah, Mandana, who would have been in line to be captain if not for Harmanpreet, it feels as though she's in the process of also taking the next step. She's had a fabulous 2022.
She really has, and it's the manner in which she does it as well. I mean, some of the shots today were fantastic. Make no bones about it. There were some drives to the offside. She was fed a little bit occasionally by Izzy Wong, but, you know, she's such a great judge of length. And then her hands, I mean, she hits the ball on the ground when the field is back, finds those gaps. When the field is up, she's perfectly comfortable just going over the top. And she times it, I think, as well as anybody in world cricket. It's not just the aesthetics of it, it's the wisdom, it's the cleverness of it, I think. The way she manipulates the field around.
She picks her moments, doesn't she?
Yeah.
It's like with Harmanpreet. Sorry, my voice is breaking. It's been a long weekend. Taking singles routinely from the last ball of the over. It's like that internal kind of onboard computer these experienced players have.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I was thinking also of Mandana's singles, a little tuck into the onside, just that little gap that she finds. And Dipti Sharma going.
I didn't mention it. Dipti Sharma bowled beautifully, taking two wickets as well. Running, doing it. I don't know why she's doing more fitness. She was in the field for 50 overs earlier.
It seems insane, doesn't it? I suppose actually trying to get warm because it is now pretty cold.
I thought she might come in at the end. Harleen Diol, I mentioned it briefly about her bowling. Hadn't really contributed as a one-day cricketer until today. Like, she'd been picked three times, dropped three times. Even just being out there for the end. There was no collapse today. Yeah, she was given out leg before and it was overturned on review. But the point being, they're trying to build that depth over time, and this is the right part of the cycle to do it. That's why you're seeing more responsibility for Charlie Dean, who I thought bowled really, really well today.
Yep.
Pick of the bowlers. Alice Capsey got a start on debut, made 19, didn't go on with it. But, you know, they're going to get games into the legs of younger players this year and probably next year, with a view to them being cherry ripe for 2025.
Let's also be clear why Alice Capsey didn't go on. It's because she was got out to an absolutely stunning catch.
True.
It was a cracker from Harmanpreet.
Yeah.
One of
two great catches today.
Charlie Dean the other in an identical position. And I sort of had a feeling that this could have been Capsey's day when she got out. That actually did depress England a little bit more. I just want to just go back a little bit on Amy Jones.
Okay.
Yeah, her batting is struggling. I don't think it's too much of a problem for England as she slips further down the order because England bats so deep these days. I think what was a bigger problem today was actually her confidence in her captaincy. And England don't look the same without Heather Knight. And let's be really clear about this. It's been about 20 years that England have had two captains,
Charlotte
Edwards and Heather Knight. And in that setup, there are people I think who they're not ready for it, they don't want it, they don't feel comfortable doing it. They're used to being captain and being able to get on with their game. And I'm not blaming Amy Jones for any of that at all. She's been given the job, which I wouldn't think she necessarily would have been, you know, screaming for, sticking her hand up to do. I wouldn't be at all surprised if it just take her further down the order, really. Her batting is not in the place you want it to be. I'd stick Davidson Richards up, and I would let Amy Jones hide a little bit, because if she's going to captain both these other two games, it's a steep learning curve against a really good Indian side, and she needs to have her wits about it. Today, like, Alice Capsey didn't bowl, for example. Now, that could be because Capsey's carrying a niggle of some kind. I think we saw the physio go on and treat her a little bit, but I was surprised she didn't.
Just to kind of build on your point about the decision making out there, you know, I don't want to sort of pile into Amy Jones. It's her first day in the job, you know, but Sophie Eccleston didn't bowl until it was 90 runs on the board.
Because there were two left-handers in, and that took precedence over the need
to get wickets.
To get a wicket.
And then Emma Lamb bowled three overs, presumably to get rid of some of the fifth bowler overs early in the reply, early in the defence. But the thing was, this game was never going to 50.
No, it needed wickets.
They were so far ahead of the rate, India, by that stage, that whether Lamb, but I suppose they were thinking about Lamb as a wicket-taking option because they couldn't have possibly been thinking, well, we might need to milk some overs out here, as you often see in the middle overs of a one-dayer where bowlers five and six will try and sneak a few in, even if they go for four or five and over, because they know that they'll have their firepower at the end. Firepower at the end today was null and void. They won with six overs to spare. So, yeah, there is definitely room for improvement. And again, she's still the best keeper in the world, by the way. And she's one of the first names on the team sheet for that reason.
Took one today. Took a bouncer off Kate Cross.
Yeah, brilliant. Still look for the stumping.
Brilliant. Yeah. And it was a wide. It was a bouncer wide. It was so high. I mean, how she got it, I do not know. And it was straight back down to the stumps.
That could be a nomination for the Final Word Hall of Fame. The Final Word Hall of Fame for the Advanced Hair Studio, advancedhairstudio.com/final word. Get people in the background tonight. Harleen Diol, who was there at the end today. Good wicket. Well bowled. Didn't want to know. Stop for a chat on your next lap. What was I saying? It's the Final Word Hall of Fame. For Advanced Hair Studio, where Daniel's going to be in the winter getting his hair replaced. Why wouldn't he? You could mount a case why you should, you know, go bald the way you want to go bald. But we're taking the alternative view.
That's right.
Many people have done it. Indeed, over 1 million people have done this over the last 30 years. They cannot be wrong. Follow their feet. Follow their direction. advancedhairstudio.com/final word. 15% off as well. This is where we nominate the most final word moment of the day. I've got a few nominations. I quite like the fact that Harmanpreet, having batted with such control throughout, decided to bring up the winning runs with a six over mid-wicket, taking on the one fielder outside the circle.
I liked that. I did like that. I think the other side of it is that when you watch India, when we watch women's games, we see games, you rattle through them. Overrates are always pretty quick, except when India play. And it's absolutely vital that India take their time. So one of my nominations is that they bowl 12 overs in the first hour, which is fairly extreme.
That takes some doing.
It takes some doing in women's cricket. And Dipti Sharma did what Dipti Sharma always does, which is to at least two or three times run into bowl and then not bowl and giggle. But my ultimate Hall of Fame moment from today goes to Izzy Wong. Now, I can't remember. Was it Harmanpreet who was facing? I think it might have been. So Izzy Wong came into bowl. Now, you'll recall when Darren Goff came into bowl and he like stuck his tongue out.
Yes.
Well, Izzy Wong came into bowl and she suddenly shook her left hand.
Ah, I didn't see this.
Did you not see this? She shook her left hand as she was coming into bowl. And I think it was Harmanpreet. Went, no.
Not having this.
And Wongi was livid. And spent the next over, whenever the ball came to her, just flinging the ball back to the
just abusing
the keeper
it.
in anger. Yeah, and
why not?
And this is, you know, in the absence of Catherine Brunt, England needs a bit of kind of fire in us because they're in danger sometimes of being, I'm not going to say placid. I'm struggling for the precise word, but do you know what I mean? They're just a little bit polite about the way they go about things.
I thought they were a bit low on energy.
It felt like that. Whereas you imagine,
and you're not usually seeing, you're not really describing England as low on energy when Catherine Brunt's
inside. But
being harsh, but it's true.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when the side's lost by seven wickets with many balls to spare, we're going to look into these things. But Wongi was the one who was trying to inject a little bit of mongrel into them. So that's my Hall of Fame nomination.
I'll rattle a couple off that came towards the end. Well, there was nearly an elbow before wicket. I've seen a shoulder before wicket, famously. Darryl Harper, Glenn McGrath, Sachin Tendulkar. Every Indian fan will know what I'm talking about. All the 99s at one point. So Mandana faced 99 balls. She was involved in a 99-run partnership to bring it close to that. And they came together, her and Harmanpreet, when the score was 99. So three 99s at the same time. Samson gave me that one. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Some people like that kind of stuff. I'm one of those, let's be honest.
Me too.
Oh, and Kate Cross. I think it was Kate Cross. She'll confirm it if I'm wrong. When they were going through a leg before review late in the game where Davis and Richards had a back of the hand slower ball, it was the elbow before wicket, actually.
Yes.
She was saying pretty much in the direction of the stump, Mike, there is clear space between the ball and the glove, just making sure everybody knew there was no tickle on the way through, which again is all part of the fun, especially when they were that close to going down, as they did by seven wickets. That's our Final Word Hall of Fame. That is our podcast. Advanced Hair Studio, the world leaders in hair restoration, advancedhairstudio.com/final word. If you're thinking about it, now is the hour. India, victorious. There's been 14 series between these nations in one-day cricket before today.
It's not 7-6, is
it? Only one time has the visiting team won. That was India in 1999.
Ooh.
They've put themselves in the box seat. We go to Canterbury on Wednesday, where we will do this again as well. The Final Word Daily, Adam Collins? Ooh. Adam Collins. Daniel Norcross.
That's me.
Bye.
Bye. So you know what I meant here. I had to go about